Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor continues a series titled, Prayer That Invades the Impossible. This is part four titled, War Chest for Prayer. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Any good soldier goes to combat, goes to war, and he knows where his weapons are. He knows where they're located, on their belt, in the sack, on his back, in the truck. I mean, he knows where they are because you got to get to them quickly because you're only as strong as the weapons that you use. And we're talking about ultimate intercession. We're talking about going into the dark place to bring people out, to bring people through. And it's important, you know, practically, some of the things you can do to assist your quest in bringing victory to people that are near, people that are dear to you, people that are depending upon your faith, more maybe than what you know, to get them out of the quicksand that they've walked into, to get them out of the deep, dark hole. Some of them may not even have a light in their tunnel, a music in their cave. They're waiting for breakthrough that they can't seem to get on their own. And there's you. God has put them on your heart. God, the Holy Ghost, has put them in your path. And you're feeling an unction and an urge and a desire, and you want to do more. And you say, how can I do more? What can I do to assist this great spectacular deliverance or breakthrough, whatever it may be, for a church, for a city, for a marriage, for your teenage son, for Barry, Ricky, and Robbie, and Sally, for Janet, for Wes, for whoever out there needs breakthrough. You gotta have a war chest. You gotta have arsenal. You gotta have weapons in there that work. There's a verse found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And it says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying with all prayer in the Spirit. I believe that two of the most dynamic prayers that you can ever pray is one that's in the language that you speak and one in the prayer language that God gives you whenever you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, whenever you receive your prayer language. There's a language in heaven. There's a language. The Bible calls it an unknown tongue. Now, we know that there's many dialects around the world. We know that many languages, Spanish and German and French and Italian and Polish and English. But there is this language in the heaven, in the Spirit, that's called an unknown tongue. It's not any known dialect in the earth. And one of the reasons that God gives you tongues whenever you pray is because the devil can't crack the code. He can't understand what you're saying. So often the devil hears our prayers, and in our prayers is laced with fear. We give him information about fear. We give him information about guilt. We give him information about ourselves that he turns around and uses on us. And so one of the benefits of having an unknown tongue coming out of you, Hul Rabashanda, when you pray that language, one of the benefits coming out of that prayer language is that the devil does not know that unknown tongue. He can't crack the code. He can't get in there and use it against you. And the Bible says that unknown tongue goes straight to the heart of God, that it's always in the perfect will of God. Why do you say that? Well, sometimes we pray out of our own wants, and we end up praying sometimes with witchcraft prayers or selfish prayers. We pray what we want to see and what benefits us because of what happens to them. It's not real concerning all about them. It's like one lady told me years ago, I want to get my husband freed from smoking. And I said, why? And she said, it's in all the curtains and all the carpet and everything stinks. Nothing about his health or his safety or his longevity. It's about the smell of her curtains. You know, oftentimes our heart is laced with selfishness. But when you pray in tongues, the devil can't crack the code. It's a selfless prayer, not a selfish prayer. It's looking out for the best interests of that individual. It goes right into the heart of God. And it's something we should be doing more of. And plus, oftentimes, you don't know all of the details around that person's bondage, around their predicament. You're simply praying what they have told you. Well, maybe they haven't told you the truth or all of the truth. Or maybe it's the truth as they see it. Well, the truth as they see it isn't the way God sees it. So how do you keep things accurate? Because God won't honor or answer inaccuracy. God blesses truth. The Holy Ghost is a true and a faithful witness. So you must have accurate details. You must have information that is Johnny on the spot. How do you get that? We don't always get that from people because perception is our reality. So if perception is my reality, then how can I be guaranteed to tap into the perfect will for that particular person? I consider what they say. I think about what they say. I take what they say being laid before the Lord. But I have to move into a language that's in my heart, in my spirit, that unknown tongue, that prayer language that God has given, and I'm assured I have the peace. I have the deep inner awareness. When I lift up that unknown tongue, it's going straight to God. It's unintercepted. It's unpenetrated. The code isn't cracked. It's right on time. It's in the will of God. And what God will do with that is it makes up for all of the details that I don't know. Like the wise. Why is that church struggling? And what's at the root of it? I don't know all the details. Oftentimes we get a request, no details. We get a request and that's all that I know. Well, who fills in the missing blanks? You know, there's an accident, and we want to know, was there alcohol involved? Was there speeding? Was there a fight going on? Was there mechanical failure? We don't know all, but when you pray in tongues, it considers all of the, and it gathers all of the information about the situation. It takes it in the right frame, in the right time, and it takes it right into the throne room of God. Praying with all prayer. It is an arsenal. It is a weapon in heading towards ultimate intercession, because you don't want to pay a price and get into the, you know, into the Holy of Holies, or get into the coattails where Jesus is, or get into Pharaoh's court where Pharaoh is, either light or dark. You don't want to get either place and end up with misinformation and end up with someone not telling you the truth because it was jaded or because that's the way they saw it. You want to be sure. You want to be absolutely sure, without mixture, without any doubt included within what you're saying. You want to stand on the solid rock of absolute truth. And how do you do that? You pray in the Spirit. You lift up those tongues, that unknown tongue that goes right to God with the cry, with the need. You say, but how can you say someone's name? God knows your heart. You say, this is for Bob. Haramba, shanda, bakunda. And you begin to cry out for him, and you begin to pray in that language. I believe God's big enough, smart enough, been around long enough to connect the name you're praying for, the heartbeat of your heart, with the cry of the language is coming forth. God can put those two together. If computers can do merge mail, I can guarantee you that Almighty God can connect the name you're wanting him to hear and feel and see with the tongues it's going forth. Thank you, Jesus. And that is powerful. That is the beginning of a practical weapon that you have as you listen to me about this war chest and about these things to do and about these points of contact with presence and power. Though prayer language is not there just to, you know, just to kind of flowery bless the Lord with. That prayer tongue is there to really aim at someone being free, being healed, being delivered, being loosed, being planted, being appointed, being anointed. I mean, it's about working everything together for the good that God has for them. How important that is. How important that is. That language that goes before the Lord. And then we see that it's not just the language itself, but it's the spirit behind the language. You know, warfare goes to the devil, but prayer goes to God. I'm going to say that again. Warfare goes to the devil and demons and pain and sickness, but prayer, you don't pray to the devil. You pray to God. You don't do warfare with God. You do warfare with the devil. And it's important that you know the difference between the two. Warfare is with the devil and prayer is to God. And then in behind that, you have this intense spirit. What kind of a passion do you have? There's people that I hear pray. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have them pray for me if they were the last person on the earth to pray. He said, well, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we lift up. My word, you lift up what? You couldn't lift up your little finger. You can't carry your underpants from the floor of the hamper. You can't lift up anything. You can't lift a feather off the floor. You can't lift anything. You can't even lift the remote control up anymore. You can't lift. There's no unction there. There's no fire there. There's no passion there. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be emotional. But you have to be, there's something in you called unction. We have an unction from on high, the Holy One. That is a God-breathed fire that he puts inside of you to propel fervency of spirit, excitement, enthusiastic, genuine, and designed in the fabric of your own personality. I mean, God has placed a passion within you to be released without any, hindrances at all in getting your point across. Meaning what? Meaning that you can pray in tongues as you're going into ultimate intercession, and you can pray with force. I mean, you can pray handa ba kanda ba shanda, or you can pray handa ba ba shanda. You know, and if you sense it's a warfare prayer, then you're speaking that tongue right to the devil, and you're going to blast his eardrums. I mean, you're going to cause him to. I mean, you're going to cause him to run home and at least give up for a day or two. I mean, you can really shut down darkness whenever you begin to aim at it, but not just with some gully lag. I mean, you're aiming at that devil, that dark kingdom, that sickness. You realize there's a force, there's a spirit, there's a devil behind the people and the situation and the city and the church and the nation that you're trying to get free. And so you take a break from talking to God, and you come over here and you go honda honda, and you begin to release that war tongue. You begin to release that language, and you watch the Holy Ghost jump on it and drive back devils and drive back pain and drive back darkness, so that you have some space to work. Then you can turn around, and with the same fervency and passion of spirit, now you can begin to cry out to God, oh, Baba Shata. See, now you're not praying out in such a way that you're mean towards God. You're mean to the devil, but now you're crying out with a passion to God. Handa Bahanda. And there's something deep down in your soul now that's yearning, that's coming forth. There's a cry. There's a shout. What did the Bible say whenever, God said, I've heard their cry? And that's whenever he chose to bring a deliverer named Moses to the people that were enslaved in Egypt. It started when he heard a cry coming from the yearning of the souls of these people that had been enslaved for hundreds of years. God responds to that yearning. God responds to passion. God likes and enjoys people that are alive, living with it. I mean, that's why everybody that he ever called or chose, they were found industrious in doing something. Might not have been the right thing, but they were at least showed signs of having diligence and busyness and industrialness and passion about what they did do. All God did was find them, convert what they were doing, and channel it towards the kingdom. Amos was pitching hay. Moses was killing people. Paul was killing people, known as Saul then. Matthew was cheating people out of taxes. I mean, they were passionate about cheating, passionate about killing, passionate about farming. They had life in them. God took what they were doing. He turned it around, changed their heart, and they become relentless, passionate pursuers of the truth in the kingdom. And so it does matter that you take this unknown tongue. It does matter how you pray with it. It does matter that you put your heart and your soul and everything that is of you into it. And when you are into it, you'll know it, you'll feel it, you'll sense it, and you'll expect it and appreciate it, and you'll know, I'm in this prayer. And that's when God's attention, because God says, if you're not in it, why should I get in it? If you're not in the boat, why do I want to get in the boat? See, God waits to affirm you. You bind, I'll bind. You loose, I'll loose. God's waiting to back you up. And when God sees you get into your own prayers, then God says, they're exciting enough, I'll get into them. He really wants results, I'll get into them. God don't want to waste his time getting into prayers that you don't really expect or want. God don't want to get into that. God don't want you dumping all the work on him. God wants to see you ask and seek and knock. And when he sees that your level of sacrifice has made some kind of appeasement towards him, he'll get in your boat. He will get in your boat. That's proven. But you've got to show God. You've got to show yourself. You've got to let that language come out of you, and you've got to let it come out with fire and passion, and you've got to mean it. And you can begin to see something take place in your life that will bring about change, that will bring about safety. And we're talking here about melting hearts. Hearts can get very hard. Hearts can get very hard. We're talking here about blowing away confusion from the mind. You know how hard it is to get out of a rut. You know, to get out of something that you've dug yourself into through debt, decision. And then you blame yourself for years to come. It's hard to break cycles. It's hard to break a cycle of food. It's eating and overeating. It's hard to break television habits. I mean, it's hard to break, let alone heroin or cocaine. And there's so many things out there that people are in, and they can't get out of it by themselves. And they're going to need a power not of this earth to set them free. And for people that needs to get into ultimate intercession, they're going to need a power to realize that what they do is going to make such a difference that will trickle down to children and grandchildren and who knows, generations that could be impacted by the price you're willing to pay to release your tongues, to do it with a passion, to put your heart into it. Who's to say what revolution, what pastor, what prophet, what singer, what Christian business entrepreneur is going to come out of the loins of your cry? Oh, it's absolutely frightening and yet exciting to think about what you and I can bring about by a commitment to excellence, a commitment to a breakthrough of an individual that deep down inside wants help, or maybe deep down inside don't want help. But after your prayers, and after your cries, and after your faith hitting heaven and bouncing off the gates of hell, hallelujah, intervention from God comes. The light shines. They're off their horse, and pretty soon they're doing more for the kingdom than we could ever think about. You just don't know. You just don't know. And I pray that as you get a hold of this revelation in this tape, I'll tell you, as I'm sharing this with the people tonight, as I'm looking out over here and seeing all of you, some of you, your eyes, your mouths, your faces, you're realizing that there's a deeper place to walk, that there's deeper water to swim in. You're realizing that God has yet to take you where your flesh screams and where your spirit cries out with rejoicing. Oh, I thank you, Lord. So we get into this. Number one, we talked about praying with the Spirit, with the tongues, and the benefits and the reasons and how that helps you in this place of ultimate breakthrough. We talked about the Spirit behind that and the passion that goes along with coordinating that and making sure that you're in it, you know. You're just not throwing out a prayer, but you're in it. You know, it's not like paying a bill you don't like to pay. You can't be involved in that. You know, I paid the bill, but I don't want to pay. You can't be grudgingly about this. You got to let God kind of lead you into this and become a part of this. Very, very important. Number three, it's very important that as you get involved in this ultimate intercession, and as you're praying in English, and as you're praying in tongues, as you're getting passionate and finding your heart getting involved in this, and you're in it, and you're becoming a part of it, you're identifying on different levels, and it's so very important that you take a break from it and push back. You know, because intercession and ultimate intercession and all of what we're talking about is not just about see how much noise you can make and how many prayers you can throw up and how much activity you can produce in the 24-hour time period. It's good to stir up the Holy Ghost, because when you begin to intercede, when you begin to cry out to God, what you're doing is you're stirring up the gift that's in you. You're stirring up God. You're stirring up the presence of God in your soul. And what is so good to do? Let me tell you what's good to do. Sit back and take a Selah. Pause. And sit back and see what God, what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you in a waiting time. You know, oftentimes God doesn't want to just talk because you speak, or answer because you ask, or move because you do something. Sometimes God wants us to be reminded of who's in charge. And that's why the Bible subject of waiting on the Lord is so big. That's why so many places it says, wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. That's why, you know, because we have the hardest time waiting on the Lord, being patient with how He wants to direct us. Don't walk into ultimate intercession with your own plan. You will be disappointed. Lay your plan down. You've come too far to try and make it happen the way you want. It won't work that way. It can't work that way. If it worked that way, you would take the credit for it. God saves the next move to be His move. And the move after that, His move. He has a strategy for the breakthrough of your church, of your city, of your nation, of the world, of the people near and dear. God already has a blueprint. We must follow what has worked in the past and what will work forever. And that's the plan of God. So it's important that in all of this activity that we're giving you, as you dip into the war chest and you begin to cry out to God in tongues, and you begin to talk in your English, in your own dialect, and you begin to get behind it with force and passion. And as you move into this, there is a point that only God can show you where it is wise and suggested to pull back and to wait. Wait how long? Well, just wait. It could be hours, it could be minutes, it could be days, it could be weeks. You just wait. You just sit back and you wait as you pray that prayer. And you wait for God to give you further direction, and He will then begin to direct you into the next phase of your ultimate breakthrough, your ultimate intercession. It could be where He wants you to move into some crying. You haven't cried. The Bible says in Psalm 6 that tears have a voice to them that God hears. And God may want you to move into more of an emotional release, because that's what the person on the other end who you're praying for needs. So God will have you move into an emotional release. And as you release, then God moves on them and they release. That's what ultimate is. It's total identification. And so God may say, okay, but you say, this isn't me. We're not talking about you. We're talking about them. And they need an emotional release. They can't get it because they're bound. You're not bound. You're free. And if you're really assigned to them and you will let yourself release, then boom, they release. And the tears begin to flow on the other end. And they don't know why. Isn't anything that they did or read or said, or it's because of the connection in the Spirit. And that's the power of God honoring your assignment to them. And that release. See, now you're moving out of just being a motor mouth full of spiritual words. Now you're moving into the realm of obedience to the strategy that works. And then how can you say, I did it? Whenever God said, you didn't even know that they needed an emotional release. Had it not been for I. God's going to get credit from the beginning. God's going to get credit in the middle of this. And God's going to get all the glory at the end of it. You are going to be used. And I am going to be used. And we will be fulfilled. We will be rewarded. But make no mistake about it. God will see that He gets the glory. He will see that. You're waiting on the Lord. I mean, God may direct you to fast. Maybe you haven't been fasting up until this point. You've been committed to prayer. You've been committed to this and you've been committed to that. But so when you wait on the Lord, the thoughts will come to you. This requires a fast. He has demonic bondages. And these demons, these kind cometh not out, but by prayer and by fasting. And I can't get him to fast because he's too bound. But I'm going to get you to fast. Hallelujah. And as I fast, the demons come out of them. Isn't that powerful? But how am I going to know to fast unless I first stir up God? I praise and I'm shouting and I'm praying in English and I'm praying in tongues. And then direction comes, and the direction is, I want you to fast. Couldn't God just tell me that in the beginning without prayer? He could, but it's more user-friendly. It's easy for us to hear God in the midst of His presence already being stirred up. And that's the purpose of the prayer. That's the purpose of praying in tongues. It stirs up the gift. It gets the Holy Spirit all, and it gets His presence all around you. It gets Him talking and you listening. It's just an easier yoke to do it that way. Often when we just walk around, sometimes our minds are on business, on family, on decisions, and we're not sensitive or conscious of what God is saying. But as we come into singing, as we come into prayers, as we come into focusing, then all of a sudden He is stirred up and He's able to direct us into things like fasting, you know, into things like crying. He may lead you into something even more unconventional, like a groaning. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8 that God understands our groanings and our yearnings. You know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's a stirring going on inside of me, and there's no words to describe what I'm feeling. No words to describe what I'm feeling. And you lay in bed or you sit in the car, it's just like, oh, mmm, and you can't find a word to fit the feeling. Well, guess what? God interprets groans. Groans have meanings. And oftentimes, you're feeling for someone. Did you ever hear that? I feel for them. Well, those are feelings maybe that can't even be put into words. And sometimes God will just have you groan and yearn and make a noise that he can transcribe into a language and get help on the other end of the person that is needing that wonderful master's touch. God may direct you in the midst of this praying, and he may direct you to just write their name on the wall and hold your hand on it. He may direct you to, you know, sow a seed in their behalf and mail it off to a missionary or a ministry that you know has good soil. You know, God may have, he may direct you to do something a little different. He may direct you to go into a certain room or sit on a bed. He may direct you. He just may do something that's unique in of itself for the designation and design of the breakthrough of that person. And he doesn't want you just ramrodding your way through there. He wants to be in charge. He wants to float the boat. He wants to pilot the plane. I mean, that's the way God is. He wants to be in charge. That's who he is. And so oftentimes we begin to pray and we think, well, I'm praying. Yeah, but you're not being directed. God wants to take you into more specifics. God wants you to move now into crying. God wants you to now move into fasting. God wants you to move now into shouting. Well, I don't like to shout. Well, that's not you, though. Remember, ultimate intercession isn't about you, it's about the other person. Ultimate intercession is not about you, it's about the other person. I don't like shouting. Well, that's not the point. The point is you volunteered for the job. God's leading you into it. He's qualifying you and equipping you. And now's not the time for you to say, I don't like to shout. Now's the time for you to say, I don't like to shout, but for the sake of what God's telling me to do it, I'm going to do it. Not my will, but nevertheless, thy will. See, that's the way this is. And you shout. And God moves you into the shout. And you're shouting, hallelujah, thank you, God, praise you, Jesus, release, let go, I affirm, I bind, I loose, whatever, God has you raising the volume, and you're just, or maybe you're just, maybe just releasing a war cry, as they often did before a great and mighty battle. God wants you to be led by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit knows where to go. And the Spirit knows what it's going to take. And the Spirit knows your limitations. And the Spirit is working not just through you to them, but he's using this opportunity to stretch you. It's not just a one way, I'm here to intercede ultimately for them. That's great that you've come to that point. But I guarantee you that God will always get a mutual benefit out of it. That in the process of you releasing people and governments and cities and nations and churches and businesses, in the process of you, I guarantee you God's going to use that wonderful, wonderful platform to knock off your rough edges. I mean to make crooked things straight, to work out smooth areas. God's going to use it to refine you big time. So what am I saying? No, what are you saying? I'm saying that there's going to be things in that waiting period that the Spirit is going to direct you to do that you may or may not feel comfortable in being a part of. That's not the time to say, I don't like that, or I don't know if that's work. That's the time to yield to a higher power. That's the time to hold on to the hand of the man from Galilee and realize he's looking out for their best interest. He's looking out for your best interest, and he's got a win. Win working, and all you have to do is flow. That's it. You gotta get a new middle name. flow. I don't know what your middle name is today, but let me tell you the new name, F-L-O-W. It's called flow. Your middle name may be Ann, but today it's flow. Your middle name may be William, but today it's flow. And whenever you begin to take on that name, God then can begin to do with you what he dreams and desires to do. Take you beyond the boundaries of limitation and take you airborne into the limitless opportunities that the sky affords. God has great and mighty things, not just through you, but in you. And as he pours out of you, and I guarantee you that you're going to get some of the corn you're tramping out. You're going to get some of the water you're handing out. You're going to get some of the blood of Jesus you're pleading out. And a lot of that's going to be coming back into your life. It's going to be coming back into your children and your children's children. And you, not this because this is what you wanted. It's just because the goodness of God, when God is in something, there's always baskets left over. There's always nets breaking and fish too big to bring in. There's always more than enough. Isn't that what Paul said? He is exceedingly abundantly.
Wow.
As we move into ultimate intercession, it's so important that we look at the story of Moses in the Old Testament, who stood on the mountain and held his hands up. And as he held his hands up, the Israelites prevailed as they were fighting in the valley. But as Moses' hands grew weary and they began to fall, the Israelites would begin to lose the battle. Moses' hands held up, they're winning. Moses' hands begin to drop, they begin to lose. What happened? God assigned two men, one on each side, to hold up the hands of Moses. It's so important as you are assigned to someone, someplace, something, and you're moving into this ultimate flow, you don't want to mess around. You want to get people behind you to prepare them for a phone call. I'm weary. I'm worn out. I need you to be holding me up. I need you to, I'm in this place of battle. I'm in this place of tremendous transition, of giving up some of the things that are near and dear to me to get something that's near and dear to him, and I need covered. I need supported. I need to feel mental, emotional, spiritual, physical support from the outside in, from the inside out. When the devil sees that, he has the devil of a day. He is fit to be tied. Because it's a principle that works. It's called the backup. It's called having adequate backup. It's called having people in place to support you with faith, with prayers, with love, and mean it. And I'm telling you what, this will work for you the same way it worked for Moses, because when you stand in the midst of ultimate intercession, it does get you weary. You do pay a price. It takes up just not your time, but your energy. There's a depletion emotionally. You know, your hours begin to be taken from you. It's okay for a week or two, but once this moves into 3, 4, 5 months, possibly, things change. You begin to find out you're beyond yourself now, and you're reaching down in for something more than what you've ever had. You've never been stretched or pressed to this measure. Paul said, we're pressed beyond measure. And once you get beyond measure, you need the help of other people around you that you can trust. Not with all the information that you know, but trust with the responsibility of covering you as you cover the situation. So important that you have backup. This backup will make the difference in bringing the victory in with no harm to you or yours. So very important. And above everything, it's important that you believe what you're doing. So many people spend a lot of time investing their prayers and thoughts and don't even believe it. How do you know they don't believe it? By what they say after they come out of their time of assignment. By what they say after they come out of their time of conversing and being with individuals. It's a contract, people. It's an agreement. I mean, you are in a foxhole with someone God has assigned you to. And you've got to believe in your own songs and prayers and prophecies and anointings and dreams and visions and leadings. You can't just do it because you're told to do it, then you don't believe in it. So many people today are singing songs, they don't even take the time to find out, do I believe that? How can you sing all these songs and still have the fear you have? Get all the touches and spend all time on the floor and still have what you have? It's because we are doing a lot of things. We're busy. We're doing a lot of things, but are we believing in them? What makes anything work is not the action, it's the belief in the action. That's what the Bible talks about. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to believe. With men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible if you believe. That's why we sing that old chorus, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. You got to believe. Do you believe? I mean, the songs we sing, I mean, free us of sin and guilt, and yet we live in guilt and sin. Why? Because we're singing songs that we feel good with, but do we really believe them? Do we really believe there's power in the blood, wonder-working power? Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Well, then, if you're free from it, why are we in so much guilt? Because maybe we don't believe in the power of the blood. You got to believe. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. You know, he touched me and made me whole. Do you believe that? We sing these songs. How great thou art. Then sings my soul. You know, it's important that you take time and step back from the clapping of your hands, the raising of your hands, the shouting of your voice. Listen to what you're singing. Do you believe that? Listen to what you're praying. So many people pray good prayers and then go out and tell other people and ruin their prayers with what they say or how they live or what they insinuate. I know I shouldn't be saying this, but don't say it. You just came from the prayer closet where you reached out, cried out, stood in the gap. Then you come out here and say things like, I don't know if he'll ever make it. Or, boy, the United States is really in bad shape. You know, you can't have both. You can't be double-minded. You know, you can't be for it in the closet and against it on the stage. You've got to believe that the tears you're shedding, the prayers you're praying, the verses you're claiming, the ministry you're receiving, the seeds that you're sowing, I mean, the money that you're giving, you've got to believe that all of these are hitting into that harvest at a different level in a different way, but it is shaking it loose. I don't know how many hits the tree has to take with the axe before it comes down, but all I know is every hit counts. I've got to believe that. If I don't believe every hit counts, I'm going to quit. Because the first couple of hits, it looks like it's not going to come down. But as I hit and hit and hit, realizing each hit, each strike of the axe against that tree, at some point in time is making a difference, I'm weakening that tree as I go on. And you've got to believe that. Maybe the prayers and all that you've done so far hasn't brought the tree down. But you've got to know that each hit, the tree is getting weaker. As you hit, each tree is getting weaker. It's getting weaker. And that son's going to be saved. That husband's going to be delivered. That church is going to be in revival. It's going to grow. That business is going to prosper. That money is going to come in. See, you've got to keep hitting. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. And belief is shown in by your confession, by how you talk. It's shown in your actions. It's shown in your face, by your countenance. It's shown in so many ways. And when you step into this level and you begin to give yourself to another person's breakthrough, where you are a vital link to their freedom, you are a relay. You don't want to be a weak link and you don't want to be a slow relay. You want to be strong and fast. And how do you do that? By keeping yourself sharp. And reminding yourself after you sing songs for that, I believe that. After you pray prayers, and I believe that. And after you get ministry, I believe that. I receive that. Start affirming what you're receiving. Start affirming it. Start believing it. Start releasing it with your mouth. I believe that. I receive that. That's good. I take that, I put that right in my heart. That is going to happen. And don't give any room to the thoughts that question. Don't give any room to the thoughts that come, the words that come from somebody else. Make up your mind that you're going to believe the prayers you're praying against maybe some of the results that aren't happening right away. Remember, every strike of the axe against the tree is making a difference. And when the and when that tree falls down, I tell people which hit of the axe brought the tree down, the last hit or the first hit. And the correct answer is every hit, all of the hits. It looks like the last hit brought it down, but it was every hit before that that weakened it to bring it down. And that's the way it is with your prayers and your songs and your seed sowing and all that you do. Every hit helps bring down the dark kingdom and cause the God kingdom, the Jesus work to take place in the hearts and lives and bodies and businesses and churches and governments. But you gotta be strong and you gotta look beyond. You can't go by what you see and by what you feel. The devil will trick you, he'll fool you. People will tear down with their tongue and question. But you've got to believe. And when you believe of the tongues that you're praying in, when you believe of the intensity of the spirit behind of which you're appropriating your prayers and thoughts and activities and your heart's in it, when you believe that the direction you're getting in that waiting period is leading you down the right path, when you believe that people you have backing you up are the right people to stand there in that place, when you begin to believe in all of, then guess what? Then you are in a place that you cannot be shaken. You cannot be brought down. And destiny is going to come about. You're going to see salvation. You're going to see healing. You're going to see deliverance. You're going to see prosperity. You're going to see straightening out. You're going to see so many great things. These are simple tools. Praying in your own language, praying in tongues, that God-given language that He gives to you. If you have tongues, please exercise that more frequent. Keep that water running. If you don't have tongues, you can receive very simply by asking the Lord to fill you and to help you begin to speak with another language. And Lord, I release that anointing right now. And God can help you begin to pray in that language. When you pray in a language, it doesn't make you better than anybody or more spiritual than anybody. It expands your prayer force, is what it does. It enables you and qualifies you to pray in a level that you never knew before. And as God directs you into tears or a shout or fasting or some other act of obedience, know that when He leads you, it is a sure thing. Don't panic. Get out of depression. Do something. And as you do something, maybe that you haven't done, or maybe that you didn't take far enough, you will begin to sense the working. You will begin to sense the groundswell of expectation rise up within you, knowing that He's about to work this situation together for their good, your good, and His good. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.